Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens and your lesson plan. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. I was at a conference once and this guy stood up and said, you know, tell the person next to you, this guy better be good. I never forgot that. That was pretty cute. And he was good. He was good. Super Bowl Sunday, we will be having Super Bowl at Montezuma Hall, and it will be the whole game up until 7:15. We are canceling our 5:15, 5:30 service. And you ask me why. Let me tell you why. I've done Super Bowl Sunday services for 8 years, dating back to 8 years ago. And every Super Bowl Sunday, that 5 o'clock service, nobody shows up. Last year, we had 134 people. That means about 800 people didn't come. And there were about 7 guys there. So I'm not exaggerating. So, you know, we said, you know, we can just kind of have church or we can do something and hopefully get more people out. And hopefully that's what will happen. So if you, I know it's not going to be like sitting in your living room, but if you want to come and bring somebody to the church over at Montezuma Hall, we're going to have food and we're going to have, you know, testimonies and we'll have a gospel presentation. And then at 7:15, whether it be triple overtime or not, the game's going off. We're going to have service at 7:15. But if it's a really good game, I just, you know, do worship. Hey, brother. But in all seriousness, again, this has been 8 years running. Every you know, I think I've seen one Super Bowl in those 8 years because I happened to go to the game. But other than that, and I don't mind missing the game. You know, it's no big deal. But to see nobody show up is kind of, you know, let's see if we can bring them. So we'll test it out a couple of years and see how it goes. And if not, we'll just go back to being by ourselves at church. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. And I pray you bless us this service like it did last. In Jesus' name, amen. Several years ago, I was driving to Azusa Pacific University to speak at a chapel. And I was going down the 15 freeway or going up the 15 freeway, depending on how you look at it. And I was in the speed lane, abiding by the rules of the law in the speed lane. And there was a dog on the opposite side of the freeway running across the freeway. And he was about, you know, several hundred feet in front of me. So I said to myself, Snoop Dogg ain't going to make it across. He's going to get hit. So he made it across the other side, came across the median, and came into my lane. I was in the speed lane, so he crossed my lane first. And by now, he's about 200 feet ahead of me. He goes into the next lane, and then in the next lane over was a young lady driving a Fiero. If y'all remember what Fieros were like, they're a little low to the ground. She was driving like this. And the dog ran right in front of a car. Unfortunately, she was also a couple hundred feet ahead of me. And when the dog ran in front of a car, she slammed on the brakes, saw the smoke come from her tires, and she ran over the dog, killed the dog. And so I kind of drove by, past the dog, and it was dead. And then she slowed down, and I saw her in the car crying. You know, she should have been. She just killed this dog. And it's traumatic. You know, it's a nice little white poodle with a little gold collar. You know, I'm only kidding. Fluffy was his name. Had a bunch of puppies at home. You know what I'm saying? I'm just messing with you ladies. The fellas don't care, right? Fluffy, no, whatever, you know. Anyway, this dog is dead, and I was thinking to myself, if that girl, I would not have hit the dog because I saw the dog when it was on the other side of the freeway. But the problem with the girl was she was only looking at what was right in front of her. She didn't see it because it came from the side. And next 3 weeks, we're going to be in Genesis 2. And we're going to talk about relationships, marriage, dating, sex, intimacy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And when you consider these topics, if you are like that girl, looking at and reacting to what's only in front of you, you will be like that dog. You have to get the big picture. And the world today is distorting the big picture. God created man, he created woman, he created and put in place the rules and guidelines for relationships. And the world is turning them all around. And some of the things that even people in the church accept as okay has never been okay with God, and it never will be okay with God. And so we're going to talk about some of those things over the next few weeks. Some of this stuff may offend some of you because you've accepted what the world says is true. And you've accepted what you see a majority of the world accept as true. But don't be offended or mad at me. You have to deal with God on that. My job is only to tell you what I believe God is saying and what the Bible says. So I hope that it will enlighten you, and I hope that it will strengthen relationships. I know there's marriages in the church who are suffering, and we're glad. Why is that? Because we want people whose marriages are suffering here and not there. So we hope that God will help and encourage your marriage and your relationship. And let me prepare the guys, because next week or the week after, we're going to be talking about the responsibility of the guy. It's our job. 99% of the issues that we see in counseling and problems is the guy's fault. And that 1.1%, there's a few psychotic women out there. But usually they're psychotic because of that guy. But, you know, we all, fellas, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, if you ain't saying amen, you got issues, okay? We all know. Let's look at our title. The title is Leave It to Cleaver. Okay? Leave It to Cleaver. The goal is to honor God in your dating and marriage relationship. That is the goal. We want to honor God in our relationships with people of the opposite sex. Or I should say dating and marriage relationships. So let's read. Chapter 2, Genesis, verse 15. We saw in chapter 1 was a story creation. We saw in chapter 2 was another creation story, a creation account that is going to focus on day 6, which is where we're at. It says in verse 15, chapter 2 of Genesis, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you should not eat, for in that day you will die. Now last week we talked about Adam and Eve, and actually specifically Adam, a man being in this garden. The Eden means delight. Adam was not a man like us. He was not, when you think of Adam in the Garden of Eden, do not picture in your mind a muscle-bound guy in Hawaii. Adam was covered with light. Adam was not like us in the sense of looking like a man. Let me back up. You remember when we'll see in a few weeks, when they sinned, they realized they were naked. Okay? Before that, they didn't realize they were naked for a lot of reasons. One, there was no shame in nakedness. And again, we'll get to that in a few weeks. But you have to understand, these people would have lived forever. They were covered in light. They walked with God. And the earth, physical earth, was different also for a lot of reasons, and we'll get to that in the coming weeks, especially after the flood. So we can't imagine how beautiful this place was and what kind of human beings these people looked like, or the capacity they had. They would have never died. So they were immortal, okay? And so they had just a lot of physical characteristics that we can't imagine. But still, even with that, God says there are still rules and guidelines in paradise. You can't do anything you want. We don't want that. We don't like that, right? We want to be able to do what we want, especially when we get successful. I'm going to do what I want. This is my house, fellas. God says, no, not even in your house. That's the problem. Right there. It's not your house. It's God's house. This is not my church. It's God's church. This is not your body. That's God's body. He purchased you with his blood on the cross. Believe that. You don't even own yourself. You are a part of the body of Christ, a servant of Christ. He owns you if you've given your life to him. He purchased you. When you gave your life to him, you said, Lord, here's my life. So you don't even own yourself. You don't even have authority over yourself. God has authority over you. We have to go back that far. So he says, are there rules? Now, I was in a school in Brooklyn, Michigan. Brooklyn, Michigan is a small town, a couple thousand. From what I remember, one traffic light, two traffic lights. I don't know why they gave it the word Brooklyn. It's like saying, you know, a giant shrimp. You ever go and get a jumbo shrimp? No. Anyway, I'm in a school, a public school, and I asked these kids, I was doing a workshop on sexual purity, and I said, let me ask y'all something. Are there any rules to sex? Oh, no, go with the flow, honey, go with the flow. I said, okay, can I have sex with a child? No, you can't do that. I said, thought you said there were no rules. Well, you can do anything but that. Okay. Can I have sex with another man's wife? Oh, you shouldn't do that either. I said, thought you said there's no rules. No, I ain't. Can I have sex with another man? Oh, yeah, that's nasty. You can't do that. And we will deal with homosexuality issue. It's a very big issue. We will deal with that. And I said, well, wait. Y'all told me that there were no rules, but you said I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do that. What's up? And they said, well, you can do anything but those things. I said, okay, without getting into other things I can't do, why are those things wrong? Well, they just are. That was their response. No, those things are wrong because God said so. God made you, and he made your compatible mate a certain way, and he put rules to that relationship. Now, our society wants to back up and say, no, God made you, and there are no rules. You can do whatever you want. Do you hear that every day? That's what the world's going. You and I have to decide who we're going to listen to. You cannot listen to both. So he says here, Adam, there are rules. Look in your notes. One, sex and relationships are natural and from God. God created the man, he created the woman, and he said, listen, I am going to create sex. I am going to create intimacy. I'm going to create love. I'm going to create relationship. I designed it from nothing. Remember we talked about the first week? God, in the beginning, God, bwada, the Hebrew word bwada, which means he created something from nothing. He created it. Okay? I'm going to design a man and a woman, and I'll make them compatible so they can share and be one with each other, as we're going to see, and have a relationship with me. I designed that. MTV did not design it. The United States Constitution did not design that. Planned Parenthood did design it. God designed it. Is there any important you understand? Before you start listening to those people and letting TV and the media shape your understanding of relationships, let God tell you what it is. And God didn't change. God, you know, people say, well, that's old-fashioned. No, God doesn't live in time. There is no such time element to God. These are eternal. Okay? And so God is older than old. One of his names is the Ancient of Days. So they are natural. I was in the grocery store one day. My son, when he was born, he had a big head. And we're going to elaborate more in a few weeks on that issue. Now, you have to understand, one of the things that makes babies cute is that their head is about one-third of their weight. Think about if you had a head that was one-third of your weight. You know how big your head? It'd be like, I would have like a 60-pound head. Either I'd be really smart or I'd be walking around like this. Okay. I was in the grocery store. My son was sitting next, standing next to me, and he was quiet for like 10 seconds. Now, whenever little kids are quiet for more than about 10 seconds, something's wrong. Right? If your kid's in the other room, you're playing, you can hear him all that, laughing, stuff is clankety clankety. Then you know everything's cool. But when it gets quiet, you know something's wrong because they're being devious. Because they're sinners. So my son is standing there, and I look down, and I can see his big old head pointing towards the Cosmopolitan magazine. And he goes, hey, Dad. And he pokes the girl, and he goes, look at that. Wow. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, that's my boy. And I said, now, son, you're not supposed to be looking at that. But the fact that he was natural. It's natural. My daughter came to me and said, you know, when she was little, she had they had the Ken and Barbie doll. We had the black Ken and Barbie doll, had a little Jerry curl, a little mustache. Y'all might not have had that. We had that. Brother had a little six-pack, ripped stomach. So she said, Daddy, this is my man. You know, she was little. And, you know, kind of hurt me. You know, I'm buying all the food, buying her clothes. She's my girl, right? So she went to bed. I went into the toy box and got a little Ken out. So I took all his clothes off, unhinged all his arms, his legs, his head. And all that was left was his torso. She came down, Daddy, Ken is dead. He's dead. It's natural. Next one. It's a natural need for her and a natural response for me, okay? Next one, number two. There is a right way and time and a wrong way and time. There is a right way and time and wrong way and time. You talk to a 16-year-old kid, a lot of them are sexually active and younger. I was in Philadelphia, she was either 9 or 11, had a baby. Now you think that's impossible. Well, the guy who delivered the baby told me. And her mother was 20, so she had her when she was 11. So you have a 20-year-old grandmother. There's a time and a place that's right and wrong. Don't assume because you're 15, 16, 20, 30, 50, 60 that you automatically know what that is. Okay? Number three, obedience to God is mandatory for success. Disobedience brings about consequences that are worse than any other sin. All sins are the same. No, they are not. First Corinthians 16 to 20, right there in your notes. You know what it says? That every other sin is outside the body, but sexual sin is against the body. Oh, different. There are people today sitting in this room and who will be here all day who are still suffering from sexual sin 20 years ago. To this day, you'll take it to your grave because it scars you in a way that a lie didn't, getting something or you stealing didn't, or someone doing some other sin didn't affect you. Matter of fact, we've done so many sins we forgot. Not those sins. Those sins have lifelong consequences. They have consequences that scar you to the deepest core of who you are and affect you for your whole life. God said, I'm going to give you this special thing, but you got to be real careful with it. And we are so careless with it. Okay? Let's keep reading. Verse 18. It says, the Lord said, it is not good that a man should be alone. Amen, fellas? Amen. Amen. It is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to all the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Did some man name all the animals? Well, not all the animals we have today, because a lot of animals are extinct. We don't know exactly what animals were there when Adam named them, but yes, he named the animals that God brought to him. Well, how could he do that? He wasn't like you and me. He wasn't like you and me. One, he only had to name the kinds, because he only made kinds. So God could say, I'm way out of my league on this, but, you know, all cats come from two cats. The cat kind. So two cats could have made all cats. Two humans made all humans. We're going to see that in about 2 months. All the humans we see, all different shades, nationalities, ethnicities, all come from two people. So all he had to do is have one couple. And one couple makes all the kinds. That's how God did it. And if you go to any even evolutionists, they'll tell you that there are kinds, species. And they'll also tell you that one kind can't make another kind. But even though evolutionists needs that to happen, they'll tell you they have no evidence of one kind making another kind, but they'll tell you that's how we got here. But they don't have any evidence of it. That's a whole nother story. And hopefully you went and asked your professor, did they have any transitional forms from a few weeks ago? And I know they told you no. And if they told you yes, you should ask for proof because they're not telling you the truth. There's different kinds. So Adam had his brain function, promise you, was not our brain function. We use about 3% of our brain. There's 97% of our brain we don't even use. We don't even know how to use it. So who knows his potential? Remember, he was not a sinner at this point. So he could have potentially just went, that's all the animals right there. Who knows? But the one thing we do know is that he did not find any of them compatible to him. As wife. In other words, God brought him out and he said, that's a gorilla, but that ain't for me. That's an elephant? Ain't compatible with me. Giraffe? Nope, too tall. He named every single one, but none of them were compatible to him. Let's look at your notes. Man has social, mental, physical, spiritual, emotional needs. You can go on and on and on. Remember, let's back up. God made man in God's image. And because God made man in God's image, man has different needs and capabilities, especially in his relationship with God, that no other animal has. I'll say it again. God made man in God's image. He didn't make any other animal in God's image. How do we know that? He tells us that. And you could see that. But whether you believe what you see or not, because you may think some animals are spiritual. I don't know why you would think that. But I can tell you, it ain't that way because the Bible says so. So God says, I'm only going to make man in my image. And because he's in my image, he's going to have different potentials, different capabilities, different possibilities. He's going to be able to talk with me, walk with me, glorify me, honor me, love me, etc., etc., etc. And so, Adam, I'm going to bring all the other animals I made, the animals that you are going to have dominion over. See if any of them are on your level, that are comparable to you, that can help you fulfill what I've called you to do. And Adam said, no, I can't. No, 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 no. Adam, I knew that. I just wanted you to know that. So now I'm going to hook you up. Look in your notes. Compatible helper, a partner who is qualified to fulfill. A partner who's qualified to fulfill God's mandate to man. Subdue, have dominion, multiply, and fill the earth. Here's what God told Adam. Adam, have dominion, multiply, and fill the earth. If God brought Adam a man, there'd be no humans on this planet. If God brought Adam a man, there'd be no humans on this planet. If everybody was gay, we would all be extinct. It's not God's plan. It's not God's plan. And we'll get more into that as we go by. God says, I'm going to bring somebody who can be your spouse with whom you can fulfill what I have called you to fulfill. If God has called you to do something, he will provide for you everything you need to fulfill it. Not only in your spouse, in your working partnerships, in your business partnerships, in your ministry endeavors, whatever God's called you to do, he will give you what you need as long as you obey him. It's all on him now, okay? It's not about us, it's about him. So he says, Adam, I've called you to have dominion over all the creatures. I've called you to fill and multiply the earth. And you know, there's nobody out here that can fulfill that. So I am going to create for you the right mate, the right spouse, the right partner for the job. And I'm going to, from there, establish marriage in the way it's supposed to be. End of story. You can go to the Supreme Court all you want. You will never trump God. You can rationalize all you want. You will never trump God. You can talk about how much you love somebody. It has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with it. Just because you love somebody doesn't give you the right to do whatever you want. I love my kids. There's certain things I shouldn't do with my kids. Why? Not because it's wrong. Because God said so. That's what makes it wrong. It's God. It's God. It's not a culture. It's God. It's eternal. And so look what it says. It says in verse 21, God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took out one of his ribs and clove the flesh in his place. We're going to deal with that next week. Look in your notes. Whenever you are dating somebody, and I know many of you in here are single, many of you in here are married, but these principles still apply. Whenever God brings somebody to you, you always should test for fleas. What does that mean? You know, God may bring you a dog in disguise. Satan may bring you a dog in disguise. They may look like a human. They may talk like a human. They may have bling bling like human in cars. Smooth, how you doing? But in reality, they're a dog. Snake, wolf. Are y'all feeling me? Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, you have to say, is this a compatible mate from God? Just because they're human doesn't make them that. It's a good start that they be human. But there's more to it than that. You may, and even though they may be Christian, that's a good start, but not necessarily that either. This is so critical. And now, I know a lot of us married people here, you say, well, I already got my mate. Does this apply to me? It will. It does, and you'll see in a minute. I want to define two key words. One, lust, and love. Because I said in the beginning, there are rules in relationships, even in the context of marriage. You can't do whatever you want. And hopefully that will become clear to you in a minute. Let me give you a definition. Lust pleases self at the expense of others. Lust means I want to do what I want to do at your expense because I want something that doesn't belong to me. You can lust money. You can lust material things. You can lust things. But we're talking about lusting somebody physically here. I want to please myself at anyone else's expense because I have the strong desire to have something that doesn't belong to me. That's lust. Okay, now skip down to love. Love pleases others at the expense of self. That means I want to help you, and if it has to cost me, that's okay, because that is love. Love is a commitment you make. Love is not a feeling. It has feelings associated to it, but it doesn't necessarily be feeling. It doesn't have to have feeling. You don't have to feel anything to love. In other words, I can make a commitment to love you, and you can irritate me day in and day out, and I can be just so, but I still love you. And I still say, I am going to love you, even though right now I don't want to talk to you. That's still love. That's still love. Just because you don't feel it at the moment doesn't mean you don't have it. If you allow your feelings to dictate you, that's not this kind of love we're talking about. That's the kind of love that'll get you broke up. Okay? So when you're in this relationship, I want you to, here's a question I get asked 1,000 times over, is how far can I go? And here's the answer. I go to high schools and kids will say, a lot, when we do question and answer with this topic, it goes on and on and on. And one of the questions is always that. How far is it wrong to kiss? Is it wrong to do this? How far can I go? And here's the answer. As far as you want until you lust. What does that mean? You tell me. Man, I can't even look at no girl then. How you doing? Hey, it's very nice to meet you. I won't see you later. I'll hear you later. I'll listen. Yeah, that's right. You can't look at them. Can't hold a hand. Can't put your arm around her. Why? Because you got a lust issue. That's how far you can go. Turn real quick. In fact, I'm running out of time. Let me just read this to you. In Matthew 5, 27 to 30, you know what it says? Jesus says, you heard it was said of old that adultery is wrong. I say if a man thinks lust in his heart, he's guilty of adultery. That's where the sin starts. God doesn't want you to go that far. And many times we go to the edge. Remember our president said he never had sex with that woman? Oh, come on, man. He's, man. Brother. You're like OJ, just go, you know, bobbing and weaving on football. It's not really sex. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of kids out there doing a lot of shameful things, think they're still virgins. They're doing some horrible things and think they're still virgins. But they're not. Why? Because their heart is not a version of what they've done. The reason I bring this up is because we can sin sexually and lust without even, and sin sexually without even touching. Look at the next thing I said there, porneia. Actually, I spelled it wrong. It should be porneia, if you really care. In the New Testament, there's a word fornication, which means illicit sexual behavior. It comes from the Greek word porneia, which is the word we get our word pornography. Look at that definition of pornography, abbreviated definition. Action or words, you can write literature, videos, material, designed to arouse sexually. If you watch television, that is every other commercial. So when they sell you a breakfast jack, it's pornographic. They want you to look at that commercial and think sexual things, so you go buy the hamburger. That's a fact. They use sex, and they use an attraction to think sexual things and the pleasure of those thoughts to get to sell a product that has nothing to do with sex. That is technically pornography. When you go to the store and you go to some of these stores and buy clothes, ladies mostly, why? Because they know the guy's sexual drive is a whole lot higher, and they're simulating what they see, hear, smell, whatever, think of everything. But anyway, what they see. So what they'll do is they'll dress you up in a way that'll get a guy to think about sex. It's pornography. We think pornography, XXX, you know, some back alley little shot with videos. No. That's not, don't be deceived. It's the stuff you see on TV every day. Almost every commercial is designed to get you to think that. Why do I go that route? Because when you're in a relationship and you are acting in a certain way, you may not be doing anything, but you're messing with someone's mind. You're messing with someone's mind. That is sin. You are causing your brother to stumble or your sister to stumble. You're teasing them. That's sin. This is the commitment that we have to make to each other, that we're not going to cross these lines. This is strict. But it's the way God wanted it to be. Because when you start messing with people, and you start causing your brother to sin, and then you say no, and you cause tension. No, let our whole relationship honor God. Let's not just technically be right because we never did this, but let's be spiritually right because we honored God in every area of our relationship. Now, let's keep reading. It says in love pleases others at the expense of self. Let me help you understand what to love somebody means. If you say you love somebody, and this is going to really hit with married people and single people. If you say you love somebody, what you're saying is that I am committed to helping you obey God. Now, it doesn't mean that I want to hug you. It doesn't mean I want to bless you with nice things. That's fine. But at the foundation of all those actions, you should be thinking to yourself, am I helping this person obey God? Why? Because you can buy somebody something that God doesn't want them to have. If you have kids today and you think that loving them is getting them everything they want, that is wrong. If you think loving them is letting them have freedom and letting them have all the fun they want, that is wrong. Sometimes loving them is disciplining them and taking stuff away from them. Because why? Because, again, it means to help them obey God. Help them to understand discipline. Help them understand focus. Help them understand godliness. So the question you have to ask, are you able to help somebody obey God? Matthew 22:37 says the number one commandment is to love God with your heart, mind, and soul. And 1 John 5:3 says to love God is to obey God. That's why I say that. You can look those verses up. To love God is to obey God. To love God is to obey God. To love God is to obey God. That's in the Bible. If you don't obey God, you don't love God. If you don't obey God, you don't love God. I can't tell you how many times I've spoken to people. How you doing with the Lord? Well, you know, I'm not doing real good. I'm doing this and this is messed up. But I love God. No, you don't. You love yourself. You want to love God and you believe it's right to love God and you know it's the right thing to say to me right now that you love God, but you don't love God. And you're not loving God in your behavior. The only way you can love God is to obey God. My son, who's my wife's little baby, your only son, he's the youngest. You know how the whole thing goes. She lied. He lied to her. He's, oh, mommy, I love you. Oh, I love you. Every day, hug, kiss, make you sick. And so I said, look, here's your punishment for lying to your mother. You cannot tell her you love her, and you cannot hug and kiss her for 1 week. How many ladies think that's harsh? Say amen if you think it's harsh. Get over it. I trapped you in that one, but I just wanted to say that. Here's why it's not harsh. One week ain't nothing. But two, here's why it's harsh. He's lying to his mother. He's playing his mother for a fool. That's worse. He's telling mom, I love you, but I'm lying to you. So here's what I told him. I said, you have 1 week. 1 week. To think about whether you want to love her and not lie or not love her and lie. Be consistent. Do one or the other. So you got a week to think about it. Ladies, you still think it's harsh? Thank you. So every day, and they try to make me feel bad because they'd be like, oh, we can't do it. Ah, whatever. If you say you love God, you got to decide whether you love God and you obey him or you disobey, not love him and disobey him, but you can't do both. You can say you're going to do both. In other words, you could say, I'm going to sin and keep loving God. I disagree with Miles. It's not me you disagree with. It's the Bible. You're just deceived. You should check yourself and say, wait a minute, maybe I need to get my life in order with God. Because guess what? I'm deceived. If God's telling me to do this and I'm not doing it, I'm showing him I don't love him. I'm not obeying him. Period. And again, it's not the feeling. It's your commitment to obey him. It's not the feeling. Look at it. So here's, you got this person in your relationship, right? Or this person that wants to be in your relationship. First question you're going to ask yourself, do they love God? Look in your notes. Is he or she able to love God? If someone can't love God themselves, they can't help you love God. Oh, they may tell you to go to church. Come on, we want more than that. Next one. Is he or she able to help you love God? Does someone know the Bible enough, is committed to prayer enough to help you obey God? Some people just have a hard time themselves doing what's right, much less help you. And here this person's trying to say they want to be your compatible mate. We go back, God has given you a mandate to obey him, to honor him, and this person wants to be your compatible mate. Are they going to help you do what God's called you to do? This is really, really simple but valuable stuff. This will save you headache if you're not married yet. If you got someone in your life already, y'all need to work on this. If your husband telling you he loves you, you need to ask him, you need to ask yourself, what does he think that means? For some of us, that means, I want you. Uh-oh. Did someone say, uh-oh? Uh-oh. I want you. It needs to mean at least this. Third one. Is he or she willing to help you or love God? Is this person willing to help you? Hey, I know the Bible and I'm a Christian, but you know, I don't want to pray with you. I want to do other things with you. I want to do that at church. Wrong guy, wrong girl. And last one, is he or she committed to helping you obey God? All you youngins in here, you got no wife or husband? Let me tell you something. If that girl or guy can't answer these questions, you got the wrong person. And you may say, well, okay. Y'all will get along as you both walk in darkness together. If you like darkness, that's fine. But you got the wrong person if you want to walk in the light and grow closer to God. Remember, all of our mandate to all of us in here, by God, every single one of us in here, who says you're a Christian? God says, I want you to walk before me and be blameless. What he told Abraham in chapter 17 of Genesis, verse 1. Walk before me and be blameless. Obey me, honor me. That is the number one commandment, commitment that every single one of us in here signed up for. So when someone comes into your life, the first question you're going to ask, are you going to help me do what God's called me to do or not? That's that. Ain't got nothing to do with having muscles. Ain't got nothing to do with having a nice job. Having a lot of money. Having flowy, wavy hair. Kinky hair. Whatever kind of hair you like. And guess what? It has nothing to do with whether they're your same ethnicity either. If your daughter brings home a guy that don't look like you, don't ask yourself, what does he look like? Ask yourself, is this apply to him? If this is applied, you just better shut your mouth. I'm glad she's with whoever she's with that can do this. God has given us that, and he's saying, look, I'm giving you this precious, precious thing called relationships, called love, called oneness, and I'm giving you the freedom. Don't mess it up. I was at a conference once with some singles, and I was sitting at the table. We were eating dinner. It was about 10 people, and I was asking them all what they did for a living. And the guy next to me said, I'm a brain surgeon. I said, you ain't no brain surgeon. Just called him a lie in front of everybody. And he said, I'm a brain surgeon. I said, well, tell me something about the brain then. You know, see if you're a brain surgeon. As though I had the ability to determine that based on what he would say, right? That's how ridiculous that is. So we started talking. He started telling me about the brain. And one of the things he told me was, he said, in your brain stem, there are functions that are controlled in your brain stem that you don't have control over, that keep you alive, like breathing. Okay? Your brain forces you to breathe whether you want to or not. Now, we've all tried to hold our breath. You know, when the kids see how long you hold your breath? But in the end, you're going to breathe. Your brain go, okay, I'll let you slide for about a minute. But in about a minute and 5 seconds, you're going to breathe. You know, blinking your eye. You don't make your eye blink. I mean, you can, but you can't stop it. Okay? Heartbeat, same thing. It goes on automatically. I'm going to the bathroom. Yeah, you can hold it for a little while, but sooner or later, you're going to go. Are you with me on this? All those things, and there's a lot of other things. As a matter of fact, there's countless other things that's happening in your body. You don't even know it's happening automatically. And you know, those things are in your brainstem. You don't have control over them. You have a little access, but not a lot. Why? Because God knew if he gave you access to them, you would kill yourself. You would. You would just be like, I'm going to hold my breath for 10 minutes, and you would die. I'm going to stop my heart, and you would die. So God says, I'm going to take these things that will keep you alive, because y'all are so stupid, and I'm going to put them over here. This is for real. And I'm going to put them over here, and I'm just going to put them on autopilot. Okay? Until you figure out that you shouldn't be messing with them. God gave us something so special. In relationships, and he says, you know what? I'm going to give this one to you. Now, if you mess with it, it's going to hurt. We've all been hurt. I'm going to give this to you, and I want you to take care of it. Be very, 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 very careful. So in a minute, we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask all y'all to pray with me. And the prayer is simply to say, Lord, here is my relationship life, my sex life, my intimacy, past, present, and future. I want to give it to you. I want to do it right. Let me tell you something. You can be married. We see marriages fall apart as quick in the church as out in the world. Why? Because you don't obey God. Simple. Simple, simple, simple. And fellas, it's on us. We're going to see in the next week, leave it to Cleaver. It is the man's job to leave and cleave. Oh, yeah. You're in a wedding? Again, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the man takes the bride from her parents. You are mine. And I am going to keep us right. I am going to keep us right. Bigger responsibility. And but we have to make a commitment together. Let's work on this together, and let's understand that our job is to obey God. We have to obey God. We have to honor God. We cannot do what we want, because your flesh is going to want to do stuff God doesn't want you to do all the time. So what does God say? So let's all bow our heads real quick and pray. And then next week we'll be continuing this in San Diego State. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I thank you that you made Eve. And Lord, I pray all the women are thankful that you made man. But Lord, even if we were in paradise, which we are not, there would still be rules. And I pray we will be able to obey those rules. I'm going to ask everybody in here who's married just to grab the hand of your spouse if they're sitting next to you. And everybody else, keep your hands to yourself. And just pray with me, just in the privacy of your heart. Just everybody pray if you would like to pray this prayer of commitment for holiness and purity. In the privacy of your heart, just say, pray, dear God, I surrender my life to you. I surrender my relationships to you. I believe you created man and woman as compatible. We want to honor you in our life. Teach me how to love your way. Forgive me of my past. Purify me of my past. I surrender my future to you. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. And I pray you would heal, strengthen, encourage relationships. You've been so good to us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say one thing. We understand there are always marriages in stress. We want those people here. We want to help you. We're going to have people over here who want to pray for you. Some of y'all want to pray because stuff has happened to you as a kid. Some of you want to repent of stuff. We're going to have people want to pray for you every service. So as we're singing, as people are walking out, if you want to get prayer, we'll have people over here who want to pray for you. Maybe you want to call the counseling office. Please do that. Don't let the devil win. God can make many crooked things straight. Amen? God bless you. See you next